Right now, we're fired up to talk to Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports. Frank, what's up, dude? Thanks for making some time for us.
Hey, what's going on?
Doing well, man.
Dude, I think DC fans were pretty excited by your column Tuesday morning, talking about the Jaden Daniels Joe Burrow matchup. What did you make of Jaden in Cincinnati?
I mean, this is so lazy and obvious, and I hate to even do it, but I don't think anybody there is going to mind. It took me back to 2012 and RG3 on Monday night, uh-huh. Right? That great game he had, the run down the sideline, where you just kind of said to yourself, I'm watching something special here. I'm watching something happen in front of my eyes. The difference with that is I believe that game was in December, right? Like, it was later in the season anyway.
The Vikings game you're talking about?
Yeah, the one where you know, the 76-yard touchdown on the left sideline, yep. And that kind of started the, like, wow, RG3 is a superstar. I mean, unfortunately, the story ended differently, but, you know, we're keeping it positive here. I just felt that way Monday night where I was like, we were watching something happen. But this was in week three. Mm-hmm. This is Jaden Daniels' third NFL game, and you just felt like this. We're really watching a star all of a sudden. And who knows? Like, look, the Bengals were really beat up, and they got a bad defense. And it doesn't mean that Jaden Daniels is going to complete 91% of his passes even ever again. But it just felt like he's something special. And that's been a vibe out of there, you know, as you guys know better than me. The whole offseason is just how hard he was working and you know, how impressed his teammates were and the coaches were. And obviously you could turn on the LSU film from last year and see he's a baller. But just to see that happen on an NFL stage and then the pass to McLaurin at the end was just ridiculous. There's quarterbacks who played 10 years in the NFL who wouldn't make that play. I mean, the anticipation he showed, the toughness to stay in the pocket. How could you just not be super excited about Jaden Daniels? We were just doing our inside coverage podcast on for Yahoo Sports. It's going to drop later today. And I said, like, I can envision this season turning out to Jaden Daniels being the story of the entire season, kind of like RG3 was many years ago, mm-hmm. or other rookie CJ Stroud last year. He's already here. He's arrived as a really, really good player to the point where I can't wait to watch him in week four.
Did the timing, like you said, it was the third game of the season. Was that the thing that really threw you off, that a young guy is doing it?
Yeah,
quick?
He was so great at LSU. I did expect him to be very good this season, but with some ups and downs. And look, there's going to be rough patches. He's not just going to be like CJ Stroud was really, really uncommon, right? Like, but I mean, for him to be this poised in his third game was really a shocker to me. That he just seems like nothing phases him. And one thing I'll tell you guys is that surprised me was, you know, we talked all off season about, oh, he's got to slide. He can't take these hits. The dude's toughness. I didn't realize how tough he was, because over and over on Monday night, you watch plays where it's like, hey, it's third and four. We need a first down. And he just does what he's got to do to get it. And he gets hit and he bounces right back up. That play to McLaurin, he stands in the pocket knowing he's going to get blasted. Oh, yeah. And he does, and he delivers the pass. I didn't know how tough he was. And I think that even for a guy who's, you know, whatever, 210, 215 pounds, whatever he is, he's not the biggest quarterback in the league. He can take a hit. I don't know if he can necessarily survive all season taking these hits like this, but I did not know about his toughness. So there's just been so many parts of his game that are so advanced, again, for just being three games in, that it has surprised me a little bit how fast this has come along for him.
I agree, and one point I've tried to make repeatedly, and I understand that the runs are alarming, right? But most quarterbacks get hurt in the pocket or trying to scramble.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not always these design runs or the disaster that everybody proclaims them to be. And I think the biggest hit he took that the other night was on the touchdown throw.
Yeah.
And you don't want to walk that back at all, because that's how they won the game.
Absolutely not. And I mean, I've always, you know, people compare him size-wise to Lamar Jackson. And when you really think about Lamar Jackson, the injuries he's had, as you said, have kind of been in the pocket, a weird kind of injuries. Go back and watch all, like, Lamar Jackson is rushed the ball however many times in his career. It's been a ton. Try to think of any time you've really seen Lamar Jackson get just blasted on a run. He doesn't. He has a really good way of just kind of almost like the cross sport you hear Gretzky back in the day. I've never really taken a direct hit. He always seems to kind of get away right at the right moment or turn, you know, so he's not taking the brunt of the hit. And I almost see a lot of that in Daniels too, where on his runs, he's getting hit, but he's not just getting laid out every single time.
Yeah,
so, yes, you are right. You definitely don't. Look, Anthony Richardson is a great example of the Colts have talked all offseason about being safe with him and slide and this and that. What are you seeing with Anthony Richardson? He looks like a really tentative quarterback when it comes to running. You don't want that to happen to Jayden Daniels because the entire package is what makes him really, really good. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to put it all together. Lamar's done it as a passer and a runner. Cam Newton as a passer and a runner. And it looks like Jayden Daniels is a guy who's a pass-first quarterback who just happens to be one of the best runners on the field in any game he's going to be in.
Like, the thing I say, for me, and I agree with you, I say when you're running the ball, you get a chance to set the guy up. And if you watch him, he just turns his body a certain way, doesn't take the full contact. When you're in the pocket, they hit you, and you don't know why they're going to hit you.
Yeah, you see car wrecks happen back
totally.
There. You know that, and it is, and you just I hope that you know he doesn't get hurt. I hope he can protect himself on these runs because we need this guy in the NFL because he's just so exciting right now. I could see him being the story of this entire season. We all love new things, new superstars, and we've seen the other rookie quarterbacks struggle. They've had a couple of, you know, Caleb's had some moments. Bo Nix had his good game last week. Jaden's the one who's like, he could take this league by storm, and maybe even, if it wasn't for Malik Nabers, maybe run away with the Offensive Rookie of the Year trophy.
Yeah, it's a little early to call that race either. You know, like, I think more performances like that, and we'll see. It's only week three. Talking with Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports right now. You should give him a follow at Yahoo Schwab, S-C-H-W-A-B. What do you think specifically of Cliff Kingsbury's offense through 3 weeks?
You know, I was kind of down on it early on because, you know, and now you look at the entirety of three games. And, like, you know, we're sitting here, and it's hard not to get excited, right? Like, it's hard not to sit here like you kind of talked about. Like, yeah, we're just three games in. I'm already talking about trophies and stuff. But it's hard not to get excited with this guy. Where we overact to everything, first couple weeks of Cliff, I was like, why is he keeping the Ferrari in the garage? I mean, all Jayden Daniels was doing was throwing screen passes and 2 yards downfield, and it really felt like just, is this it? This is the offense we're going to get? And he was completing a ton of these passes, but who cares? Like, there weren't any air yards behind him or anything like that. You saw a change a little bit in the second half against the Giants, and I think Cliff got a little more confident too. Okay, like, he's ready to do more. We're ready to put more on his plate, where I thought Monday night against the Bengals was a pretty normal offense. I haven't really gone back and studied the, you know, air yards or average depth of target or anything like that, but just watching it, it didn't seem like he held anything back. It seemed like, hey, you know, he's ready to take the next step. And now you look back at the first three games and you say, you know what, Cliff was probably right for those first couple games. Like, don't just throw him out into the Lions den like the Bears have done with Caleb Williams. Like, bring him along. Step by step, we're going to do this the right way. So, well, I'm not the biggest Cliff Kingsbury fan in the world, but I think he has handled this the right way. And now you saw in that third game a lot of creativity, a lot of trust in his rookie quarterback that he can make plays, throwing the ball downfield, that he's not going to put you in bad positions. And you got to kind of tip your cap and say that they've hit it. Cliff and the rest of the staff have done really well by Jayden Daniels to set him up through, you know, for success through his first three games.
We've seen a lot of hear people talk about a lot of similarities from the Robert. They give him Lamar sometimes. What do you see that's different that may make him better?
Than Lamar?
Yeah.
I think he's more accurate than Lamar, but Lamar is so good. I mean, people, I hope, haven't slept on the fact that Lamar Jackson already punched his Hall of Fame ticket. Every single quarterback who's won two MVPs is in the Hall of Fame, and he's going to go too. And there's not many things. Lamar is just such a dynamic runner. There's not many things he does that poorly. He is, but I could see Jayden being more of a volume guy, a guy who, look, they don't, you saw it the other day against the Cowboys. They don't necessarily love Lamar Jackson throwing 30, 35 times a game. That's really just never been the formula they've had for winning, and they've won a ton of games with him. You could see Jayden Daniels being the kind of volume passer that gets up to 30, 35 passes, because I just think he's a better pure pocket passer than Lamar Jackson. That's saying a lot, because I'm not one of these guys that dogs Lamar Jackson for being a passer. He's an excellent, excellent passer who just happens to be the greatest running quarterback I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. But you could see, I just think Jaden is going to end up being, and might already in some ways be, just a more pure pocket passer than the two, and both have just amazing running ability and amazing just knowledge on when to run and keep your eyes upfield. They're not just looking to tuck it and run every time, like Justin Fields comes to mind as a guy who just looks to run almost every down. They're selective with it. They're smart with it. So I think there's a lot of similarities between the two, and that's high praise for Jaden Daniels, because, like I said, Lamar's going to the Hall of Fame someday, and you know, I've not put Jaden Daniels in the Hall of Fame yet, but you could see a lot of similarities in their game.
All right.
Talking with Frank Schwab here from Yahoo Sports on the BetQL guest line. Give Frank a follow at Yahoo Schwab. It's funny you mentioned Lamar there. I think Jaden is already a better pocket passer, and I think that the lack of pocket passing kind of has been an issue for the Ravens when they get into the playoffs. A pair of teams that are 1-2, the Baltimore Ravens and the San Francisco 49ers. Who is in more trouble?
That's an interesting question. I don't think either one, to be honest. I think both are really good. I guess if I had to pick one, maybe the Ravens, just because I just have this thought that the 49ers still might secretly be the best team of football. They're just dealing with a ton of injuries. When you take Kittle, Debo, and Christian McCaffrey out of your offense, and your quarterback still throws for, I think, 297 yards or whatever Purdy threw for the other day, it's just, you're not going to function at the same level you should be functioning. I go back to that Jets game. I think Jets are going to be a really good football team. And the 49ers just blew them off the field on that Monday night. So I think the 49ers are fine. They're just dealing with a ton of injuries right now. Dealing with a close loss last week to the Rams. It probably shouldn't have happened. And I think they're going to be fine. If there's with the Ravens, maybe their offensive line issues come back to bite them. I don't know where Mark Andrews is as a player anymore, coming off that leg injury and really being kind of a ghost in their offense so far. There's a few more questions I have with the Ravens, whereas I think the 49ers, once they get healthy, they're going to be totally fine. It's just you don't want to dig yourself too big of a hole early in the season before that happens.
I tend to agree with you. Are there any what do you think of the Bengals then, sitting at 0-3?
Yeah, or the Cowboys. We could talk about them. The Bengals are the team where, and I said this. I get a lot wrong. You know, when you write about football, you talk about football a lot.
Sure.
You have opinions. You're going to get a lot wrong. One thing I think I did get right was in this offseason, I kept saying, and you can read my preview on the Bengals, that it wasn't just Joe Burrow got hurt, and that's the only reason the Bengals didn't make the playoffs last year. There were a lot of concerning things, including a defense that just gave up explosive plays like it was its job. Like, it was a bad defense last year, and it's been even worse this year. It wasn't as easy as, oh, Burrow's back and we're going to be Super Bowl contenders again. This was a flawed Bengals team last season. We forget Jake Browning really didn't play that bad down the stretch. It wasn't just quarterback, it wasn't the Jets. It wasn't that the quarterback was so bad they couldn't compete. There were a lot of other things going wrong with the Bengals last year, and I think you're seeing it. I don't know what has happened to Lou Anarumo's defense, but people have figured it out. A lot of injuries, I get that. I think the Bengals are in a ton of trouble, because if you've already blown games against the Patriots and the Commanders at home, no offense to the Commanders, but that's a game you look at the schedule and you say, that's a win. We got to win that one. Well, they've already dropped two of those types of games, and the schedule's only going to get tougher. So I think the Bengals are in a ton of trouble. And the Cowboys, I don't know what to make of them anymore. Week one, they look great against the Browns, but maybe that said more about the Browns than the Cowboys, because they have looked absolutely awful since then.
Yeah, I hung around Cincinnati after the game, and a lot of the fans actually thought that it was the Commanders that were going to just walk over them.
You should, yeah, and honestly, we're just being honest among us, because nobody's listening, and no Commanders fans out there are going to get mad at me. But yes, when the schedule comes out, you say, oh, we're playing the Commanders on September 23rd, that's a win. You do, like everybody does that, we know, but... Man, they got caught sleeping because, yeah, they didn't expect that Jaden Daniels hurricane to hit town, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Man, he was something else. Dude, just specific to Washington, we're talking about some of these other teams and what their playoff chances may or may not be, and Dallas just, to me, lacks physicality at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. The Bengals are in trouble. I think this guy that was on the flight with me yesterday just wouldn't stop talking. So they're 0-3. They got 14 games left. They basically have to go at least 9-5 if they're getting in.
Yeah,
like nine wins typically gets you in. Yeah. What about Washington's playoff chances? Like, you kind of don't want to discuss it because it seems so premature. But hell, they're 2-1. I mean, you know, there's seven teams get in. There's three wild card teams. The NFC East, or the NFC rather, does have a ton of 2-1 or 3-0 teams. But what do you think of Washington with the defensive struggles that have become pretty damn apparent?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we sit here and talk about Jaden. It could be a completely different conversation had they lost that game and been 1-2, because you know, the defense has looked pretty bad, and I don't think the offensive line is suddenly good. Like, I think that that's going to come back and bite them at some point. And, you know, I mean, now that Eckler, you know, he's dealing with a concussion, you look and you say, is the running game deep enough to kind of support Jaden and all this? So this is a flawed Commanders team, but you know, if you look at the teams that have kind of gone from worst to first, not that I'm saying they're going to win the NFC East, but in recent years, it's almost always been with a quarterback drafted first or second who just has this really, really good rookie year and like, lifts the franchise. And maybe we're seeing that. I don't think the Commanders are going to make the playoffs. I think there's too many flaws here and it's too tough in the NFC. If you don't win your division, then all of a sudden you're competing with all these really, really good teams for a wild card spot, like the Cowboys, if they bounce back, and the Packers, and even if the Rams bounce back, or Seahawks. The Seahawks are off to a 3-0 start. Teams like that, it's just hard. It is hard to do the math to make the playoffs in the NFL if you don't win your division. But why can't the Commanders stay in the race? Like, this quarterback might transform everything for them. And then Dan Quinn gets the defense a little bit better as the season goes on. And the offensive line doesn't play that poorly. I was high on the Commanders coming into the season. You can go back. There's receipts. I said, I think this Commanders team could be in playoff contention. And I sure haven't backed off of that based on the way they've looked. You're 2-1. You're competing hard. You're excited about your quarterback. And you got a good coaching staff all of a sudden. I think that they can be, again, hanging around the playoff picture. I don't know if they'll make it or not. But I think by the end of the year, regardless of where they end up, I think you'll be really, really excited about the direction of the Commanders going forward.
I think this season doesn't have to be result in a playoff to be really excited about the season.
Right.
I think if Jaden, hell, if he can continue on the trajectory he's on, then everything's cool. What do you think of the Eagles, Frank? Last one from me.
I'm kind of unimpressed. Maybe I should be more impressed. They're 2-1. They've beaten two good teams, not at home. But I don't know. I'm just kind of lukewarm on them. I don't think Jalen Hurts is playing that well. And part of that's AJ Brown being out. I get it. But other teams got injuries too. The defense giving up a lot of big plays. Although they fixed that a little bit last week. I don't know. I think they're fine. I just don't know that this is a Super Bowl winning type of team. Maybe they will become that. Saquon Barkley is obviously a huge addition for them, and he's been really, really good. But I kind of need to see Jalen play better. He finished last season on a downturn. I like Jalen. It hurts a lot. He was great 2 years ago and almost won MVP. But now he comes into this year, and it's kind of the same, whatever. He needs to play better if this Eagles team's going to be a Super Bowl contender. I'm not there with them yet. I think they're good. I think they're going to win this division because, again, the Commanders are still flawed, and the Cowboys just, I don't know where the heck they're going. So I think the Eagles win the division, but as far as, like, looking at the Eagles as, like, yes, this team can win a Super Bowl, I'm not there with them yet, and a lot of that is just Jalen Hurts is not playing to the level he did 2 years ago.
He's turning it over way more, throwing more picks. And when they were really good a couple years ago, he didn't do that at all. Frank, dude, we appreciate it. I know you're big in the betting space. You got a winner for us this weekend?
I wish. I haven't really. I have not looked that closely this weekend yet, so I will. But take the Chiefs, I guess, because the Chargers are going to go into this game. I don't think I've seen this before, but if all the guys who are really, really banged up sit out, they're going to be without their top five players going into a game against the Chiefs. I've never seen that before, where a team where you could say all of your top five guys are out because Derwin's suspended and Bosa's hurt and their tackles are hurt and Justin Herbert's dealing with a high ankle sprain. So I guess the Chiefs. I'll give you the Chiefs. That's the one play I've made for this week.
All right.
We do a weekend parlay every week, and I'm pretty sure Bemis just takes the Chiefs every week, and he's 3-0. So he might be on to something.
I mean, why go against what's working, right?
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate your time, bro.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, man.
That was fun. Frank Schwab from Yahoo Sports at Yahoo Schwab. Good booking right there, Landini. When we come back every Wednesday, Power Rankings time. We do it every Wednesday. We've done it for years now, Jeff. I think this is the show's third or fourth football season now. So this is a time-honored tradition.
It's the fourth, though.
Fourth. Thank you. Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, B. As I ask every week, I don't think there's much debate. Who's the best team in football, Brian?
I'm still going to tell you the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep. They keep squeaking them out. You know, I had this dude on the plane last night, and he was nice. He was just kind of drunk because we had like an eight-hour layover, and I think it maybe got the better of him. But he just wouldn't shut up. And sometimes I can only imagine your life, B, because when like people ask me what I do, I try to just be like, you know, writer. And eventually we talk football, and then he just wouldn't stop. And he legit asked me, is there a script? And I told him no.
He couldn't believe you.
No. Wow. But the Chiefs do keep getting these little squeakers, man. But it's the Chiefs until otherwise, correct?
Yeah.
Who's your second best team in football, B?
I would have to go with your Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, we've gotten to a space now. There are only, I think, five undefeated teams. The Steelers are 3-0, the Bills are 3-0, the Chiefs are 3-0, the Vikings are 3-0, and the Seahawks are 3-0. That's probably not the five we all would have picked. I don't think there's any surprise with the Chiefs and the Bills. But the Vikings, there's some surprises here. So B says the Bills are second on his list.
What did they say?
They said the Bills. You can't – I think this is a fair statement. The Bills could really make a case for the number one spot here, but I didn't want to be the guy who dropped the Chiefs from the top spot after the back-to-back Super Bowl champs opened the season with three wins. Because you can't. They're the champs, and until they lose a couple, they stay there. But the Bills look great, man.
Yeah.
They are throttling people.
I have to give them credit.
Yeah. Josh has been fantastic. The defense is playing really well. And what was really pretty cool, and I don't know that we really got to comment on it, but how about DeMar Hamlin?
Yep.
Back on Monday Night Football.
INT, baby.
Yeah, and just he's playing really good football. Beyond just getting that first INT, sometimes you got to pause for a second and remember what an incredible story that is.
Yes.
I mean, just incredible.
Totally.
And everybody was worried about their offense in Buffalo. Kincaid finally got going. The rookie Keon Coleman caught his first touchdown. Khalil Shakir has been really good. So the Bills are going to be interesting, man. Number three, B.
Third best team. I go with Detroit.
You're off. They have Detroit four. They have the Vikings third.
I'm not putting the Vikings third. Not with Sam Darnold. And this is probably just because
they just beat the hell out of Houston, though, B.
I don't care. Still, it's one good game they beat them.
I don't care
that they're undefeated. I think if they go play Detroit right now, Detroit will beat that ass.
That's going to be a fun one to see, honestly. We'll see it
soon.
I
hope it stays that way.
What's that?
Detroit beat them.
Well, they go to Green Bay this weekend. That's a pretty big game. Packers have been playing well with Malik Willis, able to figure some stuff out. But, B, I mean, say what you want about the Giants. Their last two games, now granted they've both been at home, they've beat up on Houston and San Fran, two teams that are supposed to be among the most physical in the NFL. I understand. I am with you on the hesitancy with specific to Darnold. But the way they're rushing the passer, the way Brian Flores is calling that defense, they have at least two and maybe three players with more sacks than the Commanders do as a team.
Yeah.
Patrick Jones II and Jonathan Greenard have been awesome. The kid Andrew Van Ginkle, if you remember, he scored the pick six against Washington last year playing for the Dolphins. He's got three sacks. I mean, they are getting after the quarterback. And anytime you do that, your team's going to have a real chance.
Mm-hmm. I'm with that.
All right, so they go Dolphins 3. Not Dolphins. Vikings 3. Lions 4. Eagles 5. How are you feeling about them Eagles?
Like I said before, I think the Eagles are a very talented team, and the fact that they aren't playing their best but getting wins, and now they have Saquon on offense, I think they are still a good team. Their defense sucks, though.
Yeah, but their defense showed up against New Orleans, and they needed to. I think offensively they really need A.J. Brown, which isn't crazy to say considering he's one of the best receivers in football. But they could really use him back on the field. I want to be able to guess about Washington, so I'm going to kind of fast forward here. So 1 through 5, KC, Buffalo, Minnesota, Detroit, Philly. Then they go Houston, Green Bay, Baltimore with a 1-2 record. They got the Ravens 8th. Does that seem fair to you, B?
Yeah. They're looking at the history of the Ravens.
Sure, sure. And the win in Dallas was pretty good, even though Dallas almost came all the way back. They got the Ravens one spot, with the 1-2 Ravens one spot ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers, the 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers. Not that it matters, but I imagine the Steelers faithful would be furious if they saw that.
If they saw the Steelers, the Ravens above the Steelers?
Yeah, definitely. What do you think of Pittsburgh? I kind of think it's fool's gold, but that defense is so good.
The defense is great, and I think long as the quarterback doesn't do anything outright stupid, they have a chance to win the games.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he's been average, a little bit above average, hadn't messed up, and the defense is going to give you chances.
Couple real juicy games this weekend beyond just, you know, everybody for us, Commanders, Cardinals, but you've got Thursday night, we got an NFC East battle, Dallas against the Giants. Then you've got Packers-Vikings, 1 o'clock, which should be a really good game. In the 4 o'clock window, I guess that's a 1 o'clock. You got Eagles-Bucks, which I think should be a good game. Then Sunday night's game is Ravens-Bills. Ravens hosting the Bills. Mm-hmm. That should be pretty damn good, B. All right, everybody guess. We rounded out the top 10 as the New Orleans Saints. And then the Seattle Seahawks are the last 3-0 team on the list at 11. Where do we think Washington lands after a really impressive Week 3 Monday Night Football win, Brian?
They were 28th at first, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go all the way down to 23.
Okay. Jeff, have you looked?
Jeff actually had to step away. He's busy advocating for the Commanders to trade Terry McLaurin.
Have you looked, Landfill?
I have.
He sent the article to us, Jay.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, we know we're doing this every week. He could send us the link without looking. All right, you're guessing.
He's going to always look.
Okay. Landfill's a voyeur. All right. Brian, what was your number, 24?
Yeah, 23.
Blackjack, baby. 21 is my guess. All right. Seattle at 11, Niners at 12 and falling. They fell 10 spots. They got serious injury problems. Jets at 13 and, I would guess, climbing. Chargers fell back, injury problems. Bucks at 15 after getting smoked at home to Denver. That one didn't make sense. They got to prove that was just a one-off. Holy moly, I did not expect to get here this fast, B. Commanders at 16.
Damn.
Yo, they jumped 12 spots.
Well, I guess that was a convincing win, brother.
I mean, as long as you don't care about defense, hell yeah, it was convincing. I read now from NFL.com. Washington Commanders come in 16th on their power rankings. Jaden Daniels was already among the league leaders in completion percentage at 75.5%, and that was before he completed 21 of 23 passes on Monday night in a stunningly good performance that fueled the Commanders' road upset of the Bengals. Daniels was so cool and poised all night, leading 6 scoring drives, 5 touchdowns, and 6 tries, not counting kneel downs. He sprayed the ball all over, including a few gorgeous deep shots, and was a terror with his legs, rushing for a touchdown and 5 first downs, frustrating the Bengals all night. Daniels now has completed 61 of 76 passes this season, good for a fiery 80.3%. The NFL record for a season is Drew Brees' 74.4% in 2018 at 8.2 yards per attempt. It's only 3 games, but Daniels is averaging 8.7 yards per attempt so far. Just a remarkable start in what certainly looks like an offensive rookie of the year type of season early on. Oh, and the Commanders are suddenly pretty fun, too. Dude.
That's a hell of a jump.
B, that's the highest I think we've seen them.
They jumped 12 spots right there.
I mean, that is huge.
Yes.
It's a little high. I think that to me reads a little like fantasy footballish because offensively they were awesome.
They haven't given them that earlier. I'm about to lose my mind. They haven't given them that high of a thing in a long time. So we gotta believe that they really feel what they're saying right there.
Yeah, man, that offense is significant. Just scares me, though. Yeah, sure. I mean, you're so dependent on the offensive side of the ball to put up 30. I don't know. Working Man on the chat says that Snoop just posted Nucci's front porch with MC Light. How cool is that? Shout out to our guy, Nucci. Oh, yeah. Dude works hard.
Loving the Nucci.
A lot of folks want to see what's going on out here in Arizona. I'm going to be live all afternoon on NBC4 from practice. And then our show, we got all ears tonight at 8:30. You get a full half hour of nothing but Commanders content, including why Tress Way is now icing down his hands. Brian, it's going to be an exciting week, dude.
I think so.
We got NFC East football tomorrow night, which, I mean, who needs a win more? Cowboys, Giants.
Oh, boy. Cowboys need to win the most.
Right?
No, it's not because the Cowboys come into this season with Super Bowl aspirations, not the Giants. Now,
Giants just got to win.
When you look at the team,
it's true.
You look at front office, the Giants. Hell, Jared can't fire himself.
So, who do you think is under more pressure, McCarthy or Shane Daboll?
I think McCarthy, because you're dealing with a guy who just he does stuff just weird. You know, Jerry wants these people to be able to do things at a high level when basically he just stands over their shoulder. He's a micromanager.
Yeah, the Jerry situation, whatever. I can't wait for that.
No matter what you do in Dallas, Jerry wants the credit.
Right. Some quick early numbers on the Cardinals getting ready for this matchup this weekend. Offensively, they've been really good, man. They've been piling up points. They've been piling up yards. They lost last week to Detroit, and the Lions D kind of shut them down. But they dropped 41 on the Rams in week two, and they dropped 28 on a good Bills team in week one. Offensively, they come into this game with the fourth highest scoring attack in the NFL, seventh highest in yards gained per game. Defensively, it's not great, but it's better than Washington. They're 18th in points allowed, 17th in yards allowed. This is going to be a good matchup, man. I think the one thing that I think Brian seems to be cautioning against that I would issue the same is the Commanders won a really big game Monday night. Really big.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got a short week against a team that's coming off a loss that's pretty good, and they're at home. Like, you can't – Monday night's got to be out of your brain now.
Oh, yeah. I believe this is the team. They got enough veteran leadership and a coach, and even a young guy that leads, that they're not worried about what they just did. That's bad. That's gone now. If I was on that plane, by the time I landed in Phoenix, it would have been gone.
You'd be hammered?
No. I would have been hammered like hell. It had nothing to do with the wind. Hey, just say, have a little fun. We flying 5 hours. We're going to enjoy ourselves.
Let's make some bets.
Yeah.
Jeffrey?
Man, I told you Jeff was busy advocating for Terry's departure from town.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, we can't keep Jeff in one spot, man.
Can't keep a good man down. Yeah. All right. Well, how'd we do last night? I took the Nats, which was probably stupid.
I took the Caps, which was stupid.
I had the Astros, which won, and the Rangers. They lost, so I'm 2-1.
Because you hit a parlay Monday night, right, B?
I had a parlay yesterday. Yeah, Monday night.
Okay. And Landfill's out here betting on preseason hockey.
And he lost. He lost.
If you're going to bet on preseason hockey, you know you should be fading the Maple Leafs. I almost called them the Blue Leafs. That's the Blue Jays and Maple Leafs combined. As a matter of fact, though, I won because I took the run line, if you remember. I took the +1.5 because it was even money. So, boom.
That's not what we heard.
Won.
That's not what we heard you say.
100%. Landfill, be honest for once in your life. Run the audio. I swear to Christ I did.
I have no idea what happened.
We don't want you swearing on that.
All I know is the records. Jeff and B-Mitch are 2-1, and me and JP are 1-1.
Okay. That's fair. That's accurate. I will not have to swear anymore. Is all we got tonight baseball? We got WNBA tonight? Fever and the Sun?
We also got preseason hockey, baby.
You going
do it
back,
again,
to, the,
Landfill. Lose
back
again.
To the ice?
I'm do taking the Cap tonight? +1.5.
Okay.
Playing right, the Devils.
All right, Bama.
Doesn't Josh Harris own the Devils?
He does.
Well, I hate him.
I was very confused earlier.
If you listen to Waterboy, it's the devil.
Oh.
Not devil, it's the devil.
I pulled up the Caps preseason schedule earlier and was very weirded out why a game was at 4 o'clock. I thought it was some weird preseason game thing. Ends up, I'm on the West Coast. B, what do you like?
I like the Braves and – nope, can't take them.
Yo, shout out to the Baltimore Orioles. Made the playoffs, baby.
Oh, that's give me the Braves Orioles and the side. Dodgers.
I got to – I'm trying to get a
Jeff
Caitlin
got
Clark
zero.
Prop.
Minus one. He lost. He ain't getting no bet today.
All right, here's what I'm doing, Landfill. You ready for this? Cross-sport parlay.
Okay.
Yankees tonight. I think the Orioles clinched last night, and I saw some scenes from that clubhouse afterwards. I think those boys enjoyed themselves. I think they might give one back to the Yanks today. So I'm taking the Yanks. Cross-sport parlay. Caitlin Clark had, like, the worst shooting night of her life in the first playoff game. Give me the Fever plus 6.5. Boom. I never put in parlays.
You look like 6.5.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
West Coast JP. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to everybody that called into the program today. Thank you to Barstool Nate. Thank you to Nick Ackridge. And thank you to Frank Schwab. Listen, man, the facts are the facts. Jeff was the one talking about Terry McLaurin. It wasn't us. He's not here to defend himself. Grant and Danny coming your way next. Watch the show all ears tonight at 8:30 on NBCWashington.com. Made it this far. I owe you a beer.
IBAA.